at the facility, there are five tailing cells. Three of those are very old. They were constructed in the late 70s and early 80s, and they're a single-layer 30-millimeter PVC technology, which is pretty outdated. It was kind of outdated then, and it's really outdated now. There's no leak detection systems on those three cells, the ones we call the legacy cells, 1, 2, and 3, the oldest ones. And so they're basically filled with acid and toxic metals and radioactive waste. Without a leak detection system, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and subsequently the state of Utah, since they've gained jurisdiction over the facility, have required that a network of groundwater monitoring wells be installed around those cells in lieu of a leak detection system. Those are supposed to detect groundwater pollution at the earliest possible time. Basically, the closest wells that become polluted will be your red flag. Oh, geez, you know, something's going on. And we are seeing in the data that there's signatures of what's in the tailing cells showing up in those monitoring wells. And when this happens, there's certain wells that are just sort of general monitoring wells, and then there's point of compliance wells. And when a point of compliance well exceeds one of the standards set for it for a couple quarters consecutively, the mill owners need to explain to the state what is happening in that well. And of course, they're not going to say, well, yeah, we're polluting the groundwater. They put a report to the state, and the state generally has a little back and forth questions. They call them interrogatories. But the state has pretty much not recognized the tailing cell waste signature in these wells that we see. We're looking at the same data. We're just interpreting it differently.
Okay, so that seems to be one of the key points here. You have data coming from these sensors that are in the ground around the mill, and two different agencies are interpreting it differently. State of Utah is interpreting it as something that's less of a big deal maybe than the environmental program of the Mountain Ute tribe. Is that a fair way to put it?
That's exactly what's happening.
So where do we go from here? There's a conflict over scientific analysis in a way, and of course it's being politicized as well. How does the Mountain Ute environmental program play a part in this larger debate?
Well, what we're doing right now is we are in the public comment process on the radioactive material license and the groundwater discharge permit. The groundwater permit is what is the regulatory mechanism that's supposed to address these issues of increasing contaminants showing up in these monitoring wells. And so we are trying to compel the state to implement that permit in a way that will protect groundwater. And if there is contamination in the wells, that, you know, we are seeing it that way, that they start implementing active remediation.
What happens if they don't see it that way?
Then they continue to raise compliance limits. So say, for example, the compliance limit for a well for uranium is set at 25 parts per billion. What we've seen in some of their implementation of the permit is they'll exceed the 25 parts per billion for a couple quarters. They'll submit a report that says, well, it's coming from here or there. Usually they say, well, it's natural background, and, you know, it's being dissolved by this or that. And the state will say, well, yeah, okay, that sounds good. So what we'll do is we'll raise that up by another standard deviation.
So they're increasing the threshold that seems like it could be a potential danger for people.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
What are the effects of that down the road?
Well, our concerns are very long-term there. The tribe has been there for centuries, and we want them to be there forever. And so around the mesa, we have springs and seeps that flow out of that shallow groundwater formation, that Burrow Canyon formation that's right under the mill that those monitoring wells are in. So we want to make sure those springs never get polluted. We've already seen cultural impacts to the tribe. People who used to collect medicinal plants on the mesa, and people who would gather willows and things for traditional uses at those springs, they don't want to do that anymore. Whether they're polluted or not, there's a stigma there. They say, I'm worried about that. I'll go, 20 miles away to go get my traditional plants. So there's those impacts, and we don't want to see that happen. We want to be able to say, yeah, you can go to that spring and do what you've been doing for centuries, you know. The White Mesa community has a groundwater drinking water system, and that's out of the Navajo aquifer, which is a deeper aquifer that a lot of the communities in the Four Corners tap into. So Bluff, Blanding, Montezuma Creek, Aneth, they have groundwater wells in this aquifer. It is protected somewhat by several hundred feet of clay stone between the Burrow Canyon and the Navajo aquifer. So it's an artesian aquifer that is approximately 1,500 feet deep. So there's a layer of geologic protection there. There may be cracks in that, faults that would connect the lower aquifer with the upper one. And there are wells drilled into it, so you have a lot of well casings. So the long-term protection of that deep aquifer is critical for the tribe. It's critical for a lot of communities in the West. So those are our big concerns with groundwater. Around the springs coming from the shallow aquifer, you have unique desert ecosystems that wouldn't be there without those springs. They need to be clean and survive that way. What we're seeing now, the closest monitoring well and the monitoring well network at the mill to the tribal community is becoming more and more contaminated. So we're very concerned. That's about a mile from the tailing cells. It's we're seeing statistically significant increasing trends in beryllium, cadmium, cobalt, copper, fluoride, manganese, nickel, sulfate, and zinc, and a decrease in the pH. So it's becoming more acidic. These are things that are in the tailing cells and that things that they are running through the mill. And that particular well has always been described by the state regulators and the mill as being a real weird anomaly, MW22. Nobody's ever been able to figure it out. Well, we think it's being influenced by mill activities. They say, well, no, it's just too far away. Well, how far is too far for groundwater pollution to travel? So we continue to request that the state pay more attention to that, that they investigate the area between the tailing cells and that well more. Basically, there's been a lot of wells and monitoring done where groundwater flows in other directions on the mesa, but not towards that one, and we think that needs to be done. So coming back to your question about, you know, what we're doing to try to improve things, we have been corresponding with meeting with the state regulators extensively, more and more every year, trying to get them to do a better job of protecting the groundwater there. And we've also reached out to the various federal agencies that are involved in certain decisions and regulation at the facility, including the EPA and some others. So,
Scott Klo is Environmental Programs Director for the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe. Thanks very much for coming in.
I appreciate it, Austin. Thanks.